Welcome to Students Incorporated. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. Join me weekly as my team and I produce content that's informative, positive, fun, and uplifting. This podcast is created and produced with the help of students from the International Community School of Bangkok.
Hey everyone, I'm Premi, and I'll be the host of this episode today. I'm stepping in as host on this episode because Mr. Jason will be joining as one of the teacher guests in the second segment. Me and Frank are also joining me as co-hosts. In today's episode, we will be talking with a number of teachers about different teaching styles and methods, and the benefits and challenges teachers face. Pedagogy, as defined as the method and practice of teaching, especially as an academic subject or theoretical concept, has changed a lot in the last 20 years. In this episode, we'll explore the ways in which teaching and instructing has changed, especially in real-world application. But before we get into our first segment, let's hear a quote of the day and get some headline news.
Our quote today comes from Bob Talbot, an author, sports writer, and a journalist. Teaching kids to count is fine, but teaching kids what counts is best. This quote by Bob Talbot really encompasses what really matters. Sure, teaching kids how to do basic things will matter for their future, but what really matters are the soft skills like empathy, kindness, and integrity. It's a reminder that acing tests isn't the only thing that good education can allow you to do. It makes you a better person, both me and you. That's what really matters. Now, that's our quote of the day. Now, on to some headline news with Mia.
Thank you for our quote of the day. For our new segment, we want to present to you the top three countries with the best educational systems based on the number and rankings of high-ranked universities and robust primary and secondary education systems. Here's what we found out. We're starting with third place, Germany. Germany has the most affordable education in Europe with low to free university tuition. Their engineering and technology programs are also one of the best in the world. Some of their renowned universities are the University of Munich, which ranks 28th in the world, Ludwig Maximilian University of Munich, which ranks 59th in the world, and Heidelberg University, which ranks 84th in the world. That's some bang for buck right there. Our second place goes to the United Kingdom. With four countries in the Kingdom, England, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland, all of which have high-ranked universities and 700,000 international students annually, the UK is a global hotspot for education. Some sophisticated universities include Imperial College London, ranked second globally, and the University of Oxford, ranked third worldwide. The top-ranked country is, you guessed it, the United States of America. Most of the top globally ranked universities come from there, like MIT, Harvard, and Stanford, ranking first, fourth, and sixth, respectively. And there you have it, the top three educational systems in the world. And that's our new segment for this episode.
Thank you for the quote and the headline news. In this first segment, I'm joined by teachers Mr. Brian, Ms. Mary Kate, and Mrs. Lin, as they share insights and advice specific to their teaching style and teaching experience. Thank you for joining us today, and let's jump right in. Mia, go ahead and get us started.
Hi, so could you please introduce yourself and tell us what you teach here at ICS?
Sure, my name is Mary Kate, and I teach grade 7 math.
Hi, my name is Brian Hazlett, and I currently teach Algebra 1, and I used to teach grade 7 math, so it's fun having Miss Mary Keat here with us.
Nice. All right. Thank you both. And our next question is, could you describe to us how you got into teaching?
Sure. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah.
And I studied special ed and math in college. And so my first 2 years here at ICS were actually teaching elementary life skills. And this is now my second year in grade 7 math.
Oh, nice.
So, would it be like a dual degree?
Yeah. Oh, that's so, nice. That's
I was certified K through 12 special ed and 6 through 12 math.
Nice. Thank you, Ms. Mary Kate.
So, shortly after I graduated from university, I was working at a bank. And I didn't really enjoy working at a bank. It was pretty boring and just dealing with numbers and money. And I didn't really feel like I was making a difference. Uh-huh. And a friend of mine was working at a boarding school, and he was telling me how influential it was working with students. And so my wife, Mrs. Tina, and I, we moved to India, and we worked at a boarding school with grade 7 boys.
Grade 7 boys.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I wasn't just grade 7 boys.
Oh, okay.
We lived on the floor with the grade 7 boys, but it was an international school, 7th grade all the way up to 12th grade. So
fun.
After being in the dorms and all the energy that it brought, I thought, you know what? I really enjoy this. I enjoy working with students and seeing how it makes a difference. And so then I went back and got my master's in education.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. And how would you describe your overall teaching style? And what would you say are some advantages and or disadvantages to your teaching style, would you say?
Sure. So I actually asked my students today how they would describe my teaching style. To kind of, guide my answer here. So some student fun answers. They said calm, fun, but under control.
Nice.
That it relies on students / goes with student needs. They told me I fit in. You know how to make a student not hate your class.
Oh, yes.
And chill guy.
So that's...
Those were grade 7 answers. I would say, in summary, my goal for each class or for each lesson is to make it engaging and somehow tie some sort of activity or game to whatever we are learning. So, connecting some sort of activity with the lesson for that day. And like they said, goes with student needs or relies on students. I wouldn't say more so being flexible.
That's
flexible.
True,
what students need, if we need to spend more than one day on a lesson, going with what students need. I try to make that a focus of my teaching style. It's fun. I really enjoy. I love my job and I love teaching grade 7 math. Cons. I think you'll hear more when you hear Mr. Byron talk about his current teaching style. Right. There's pros and cons to a lot of, different teaching styles. But cons would be just it's harder to maybe meet all student needs. And so you have the high flyers and then you have so we're all kind of going at this at a similar pace because we're doing the lesson together and then playing the game. And so trying to, give maybe more challenging activities for students who want to be challenged and then also meeting with students that need more support. Which is just can be hard sometimes. But that I would say that's the only con. But overall, it's fun.
So it's very personalized, that right?
I try to make it as personalized as possible.
Okay, thank you.
So the way that I teach Algebra 1 is a little bit different and unique compared to other classes. I coined it as a flipped mastery approach, where flipped is in the sense that I've recorded all of my lessons.
Right.
And students can watch those in their own time. And then the mastery component is they can't progress to the next lesson until they've demonstrated that they've actually mastered it. So my philosophy is everyone can learn math to the highest level. It just takes time and effort. And for each one of us, it requires a different amount of time and effort as well, right? So with that, with the flipped mastery approach, since students can watch the lesson when it's convenient for them, it gives them the ability to work at their own pace. Now, I do have a set minimum where they need to be, right? Because we have standees that we have to wear and everything. But since they have that flexibility, they're not feeling that pressure of having to perform right in that moment. When the teacher is teaching more in a traditional style, then when it's over, they have to make sure they understand the material, answer the questions, stay with the class, and then take the quiz. If they don't get it, well, we're going to the next lesson.
Yeah.
Instead of, I didn't understand this. Why didn't I understand it? Going back and demonstrating how they've mastered it. So with that, it builds upon itself. And so it allows them to gain confidence in their ability.
Yeah.
So the pros with that is students are able to find that they are capable of learning math to a higher level because they're able to see the connections, they're able to actually understand. I had a student last week say, I really like this style of learning, but I don't like it because I can't fake it. Before, I used to be able to fake it, and then we would just move on.
It's so amazing.
Now, I actually have to understand it, but it's better that
way. Yeah, right, for sure.
So that's a pro. A con is we kind of miss out on like the classroom activities and energy that brings because everyone's focused on each lesson that they're on and we're all at different levels. So it does lose that classroom dynamic and culture. It's just a different setting. Yeah. But I try to create I believe as an educator, I'm not the gatekeeper to the knowledge. I'm trying to create an environment that they can learn.
Yeah.
And so I try to make it like very calm
setting
where they can learn the material.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you think that it like balances it out though?
I definitely think it balances it out. I think the students, especially the students that are taking Algebra 1 in ninth grade, they typically don't love math as much and they don't have the confidence.
Yeah.
And when they realize that they can actually do it, they feel confident and realize and believe in themselves like, oh, I actually can do this. So I think there's huge benefits of it.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. And what are some of the most engaging activities or projects or assignments in your class that you think makes it unique?
Well, once again, I asked students to kind of tell me what they found the most engaging. And the number one thing that I think students really love is it actually has nothing to do with math, but it's how we start class. And it's always with some sort of check-in that has nothing to do with math. And they really enjoy that. And just starting the class, kind of easing into math. And so, whether it's pictures on the board for them to choose how they're feeling or a random question of the day or just sharing good things happening in our lives. And I think that is, it creates more buy-in from students, allows students to, I don't know. I remember when I was in school and as soon as the bell rang and it was like, all right, here we go. Pull out your notebooks. It's time to get started. And it just, I really struggled with that. I loved classes where I could just kind of ease into what we were doing.
Yeah.
So that's something students really love. But when it comes to actual math content, projects that students love, and I have to give a lot of credit to Mr. Brian for inheriting some of these projects that students really enjoy. Projects that we just did one right before Christmas, Barbie Bungee.
Oh, so, I love that.
So They had to do the math beforehand and then estimate how many rubber bands to keep Barbie safe from bungee jumping off the second floor. And one class kept Barbie very safe. The other class, Barbie
settled.
She stayed intact. But
so are
they? May have a concussion.
Oh.
They love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Other activities and games, trash get ball. We play.
What's that?
It's very, very simple. It's I create any activity or really any worksheet or practice problems I'll put on the board. And once a table, their whole table gets it correct, they can come and try to earn points by shooting a piece of trash into the hoop, which is just a bucket.
Yeah.
But then they're earning points really just for the basketball. But they have to get the answer correct in order to shoot. And so I give them opportunity
to
trying.
Oh, nice.
So it's less about whether or not you got it correct. No points for who finishes first, but just kind of fun. So they really enjoy that. And whodunit. It's kind of like a murder mystery
kind of activity.
And I can't take credit for this either. I've found this resource online. But the thing I have changed is changing the suspects to different teachers or sometimes students in the class.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
So they're still doing math, but they get very into who committed the murder or the crime. And sometimes the murder, the crime is something ridiculous. Like, I don't even example. But just changing those to be more fun and relatable, people they know or different things like that.
All right. So, thank you.
So a little bit about the flipped mastery. What makes it unique is the fact that students can work at their own pace.
Right.
And with that, I get a lot of student buy-in with that because they begin to take ownership in their learning.
Yeah.
Instead of, but before in the traditional style, I always felt like I was pulling students along.
Uh-huh.
And it was really exhausting. And I felt like a lot of times I cared more than they actually cared. And now I feel like I don't have to pull them along anymore. I've showed them the way that they have to go. And
they're walking.
And they're walking. And I get to walk alongside them. And if they struggle, I can encourage them and help them where they're at. But I don't feel that exhaustion of like constantly
pulling
them. And so there's a lot of buy-in from them because they realize, the teacher's not holding me back. I know where I need to go. Yeah. This is what I need to do. And I have students that I would not have believed that they would be where they're at now in ninth grade, coming in after school on their own time without me telling them they need to come in or telling them that they need to work in class. They come into class and they just start working. And I won't use their names, but there's a couple shout outs that I'm just like so proud of them because they're taking the ownership of their learning. And it's unique because they realize, I can actually do this, and no one's holding them back, and they have that path that's guided for them. Yeah. So it's really fun.
That's nice. I didn't take Algebra 1. I went to Algebra 2. I should not have done that. I was struggling a lot in Algebra 2. Anyways, our last question is, what advice would you give to teachers or even students about teaching and learning?
I mean, I'm thinking back when I was in high school. I wasn't a very good student back in high school. I actually did not enjoy school. And I think a big reason was because I felt like it was a lot of hoop jumping and just like checking boxes off. And the advice that I would give to people is to enjoy learning. Be curious. And I know that sometimes it's kind of hard, like, we have to learn, we have to study, we have to take these tests. And there are tasks that we just have to complete.
Right.
And I think a lot of times in school, we miss that because there are standards that we have to meet.
Yeah.
But if we can, as individuals, try to be curious and ask questions, that's the advice that I would like to give to myself. I wish I could have given that to myself when I was in ninth grade, because I definitely was not the best student because I was just trying to check the boxes off instead of actually like wanting to learn. So that's the advice I give people.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan.
I would say advice that I would give, this actually came up yesterday talking with students in advisory. We have sharing circles in middle school.
That's cute.
And one of the questions was, what makes a good teacher? And I was really surprised by some of their answers, but the overall theme that students were saying was good teachers care more about students than content.
Yeah.
And I was kind of shocked to hear seventh graders saying that, and especially seventh graders that care really deeply about academics and content in general. And so for them to take note of that about teachers, and that's for them what makes a good teacher, not how knowledgeable their teacher is, was just a good reminder for me, and I think a good reminder for all teachers, that students can tell when we care more about them as individuals than
they can
about their grade and about the content that we're teaching.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
It's more than just math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a student can tell for sure. We're a lot more observant than you guys think we are.
You sure are.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Brian and Miss Mary Kate. Such great, insightful advice. Thank you so much, everyone. And that ends our first segment. We'll be joining several more teachers in our second segment to continue this conversation right after a short PSA. Stay tuned, as we'll be right back. For today's PSA, we will be talking about Valentine's Day. As Valentine's Day approaches, remember, it's not just about romantic love. It's a great opportunity to spread kindness and appreciation to everyone around you. Whether you're celebrating with friends, family, or just taking a moment for yourself, small gestures of kindness can make a big difference. Keep things fun and stress-free by being thoughtful, respectful, and inclusive. Remember, not everyone may want to celebrate in the same way, and that's totally okay. Let's make this Valentine's Day about spreading positivity and showing care for all those who matter to us. And we are back with our second part. We're joined by our first special teacher guest, Mrs. Debbie, followed by Mrs. Cammy and our very own Mr. Jason. In this segment, we will feature a special focus on the style and application of project-based learning, also known as PBL. Let's dive right in. Miel will get us started.
All right. Could you please introduce yourself and tell us what you teach here?
I'm Miss Debbie, and I teach APES, which is Environmental Study, Forensic Science, and Chemistry.
All right. Thank you, Miss Debbie. Could you tell us about project-based learning, or PBL, and how do you incorporate PBL into your teaching, Miss Debbie?
Okay, project-based learning is real-life examples, trying to incorporate that into your teaching. Things that would happen in everyday settings and stuff. You can actually use real-life or you can make up different things. But it's having the kids engage in projects because as studies are going on, we're learning that most kids don't learn just by reading. They learn by doing. And especially like ADHD and stuff, it makes more sense to be engaged. And in the APES, AP environmental class, it helps a lot when you use project-based learning to do something, and it makes you understand the concept more.
All right, thank you. And what are some of the major benefits that you've seen from using PBL?
Well, in life, when you graduate or you go to college, you're going to be working, you're going to be collaborating with other people. You're never going to, unless you're in a lab and you're all by yourself. And so it really teaches the kids how to get along, but it also teaches management strategy, project management. You find out who's a leader and who's not, who can lead their group. And especially kids who are lazy or don't want to do stuff in the other group, telling the leaders, you have to help this person, give them something to do so they can be part of that group. And so you start seeing how kids actually work together and they buy into the project. And it's much better when you see that. And then they're learning too. They might not be as good as the high level kids, but they're learning a lot and they're taking something away and understanding. And so it teaches a lot of what you have in real life, which is collaboration among people.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. I agree. And now, like on the topic of like inside the classroom, like how do you assess the individual contributions of each student?
I try to keep an eye as they're working on everybody's contributions. So I try to give them part that they would do. And then also to encourage them, if somebody's not working, to let me know, to email me and let me know. But even in life, you're going to have that. You're going to get a job. And, you know, even undercover, I did a job and the person I worked with didn't do anything. And they sat around. You still were responsible for doing your job. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes you have to pick up the slack. And my part was learning to be a better manager of that person and giving them a job to do. And that's what I think is interesting, watching you guys. If you have somebody who's not good at something and you give him a job, hey, you make this, and they will do it. And so it's just they sort of don't know which way to go. And I think it really helps with lifelong skills.
And could you describe an example of a PBL project that had a significant impact on your students?
Oh gosh, we do so many different things.
Yeah.
Problem-based learning. I think one of my favorite is the bubble lab, where we have to, in APES, we blow bubbles and they represent different, like children, if you have children, and how humans take care of their babies and how animals take care of their babies. And I think the kids could really see when they blew the bubbles and they had to keep it up and protect it and become a helicopter parent. It was so hard where, if you're an animal, you just blow it and they let it go and then just timed how it popped. And they understood, oh, this is so easy. They don't do anything. Mm-hmm. But when you're a human parent, you have to make sure they're going to school, make sure their work is done, try to keep them from falling. Don't let them get hurt. Don't let them walk in the road. And I think it really impacts their thinking of, okay, even though it's a bubble, how is this going to affect when I have kids? And it's really, you know, eye-opening to see them.
As a closing question, what advice would you give to teachers or even students about teaching and learning?
Oh, teaching is so much fun, but not everybody's called to teach. Uh-huh. I think for one thing, you should never stop learning. There's no time in your life. When you stop learning, to me, you'll probably be dead. All right. I mean, you can always learn something. It doesn't have to be an academic subject. Learn to crochet, learn to do something that appeals to you. But I think, I don't know. I just think problem-based learning is so much fun to actually see you guys work in and understand it and grasp the concept and take it to heart and make it yours. And I don't know. I guess my advice to anybody is live your best life. God put you here for a reason. Yeah. And he wants to see you live that to the fullest. What is your destiny? And sort of find that and do it. Because when you get to be my age, you don't want to look back and say, oh, I did something for 50 years. that I hated, but I made a lot of money. But I hated going to work. You should go do something that you're passionate about. And the money will be there. You'll have plenty of money. So live your dream.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Miss Debbie.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Mrs. Debbie. Now coming up, we're excited to welcome Mrs. Cammie and her very own Mr. Jason to share their insights about project-based learning. Mia will get us started again.
Hi, could you please introduce yourself and tell us what you teach here at ICS?
Sure. I'm Cammie Lattice, and I teach upper school art, so some of the 8th grade classes and then some of the 9th to 12th grade classes.
Hey, I'm Mr. Jason, and it's fun to be on the other side of the microphone this time as a guest, and it's an honor to be doing this interview with Mrs. Cammie Lattice. So I teach several different classes. I teach a business class, entrepreneurship class, a marketing class, which I'll talk about in just a minute, and then a digital media class and a general applied technology class. So a lot of different things, but it all kind of fits within my previous career.
Yeah. All right. Thank you both. Now, could you tell us about project-based learning and how do you incorporate PBL into your teaching?
Well, I think I pretty much do all project-based learning. I do have kind of a structure in my units where we have some skill-building lessons, like one day, I call them mini lessons, where we'll do something like, for example, just studying value and trying to replicate value in a value scale as we lead up to a larger project. Unit to unit, we do these skill builders, and then it leads up to the project, and then we spend about 5 classes on a deeper project where we're trying to really show excellence.
So sort of like building blocks, right?
Exactly.
All right. Thank you.
As far as project-based learning goes, from my point of view, it's something that came natural for me just because of my previous career.
Right.
So in my teacher training, which isn't very long ago, I had to go through the traditional type of teacher training. So I had to actually learn the teacher part. But the project-based learning was something like, out of my previous careers, all of the things that I did in my job were project-based. And so I felt like as I came into an educational type setting and I had classroom now with a bunch of students and content, my first instinct was to, how can I make a project so I can take the concepts and the principles that we're supposed to learn and put them into like a real world example? And so project-based learning was something that I felt like I started off with. And then the other part of that was I had to kind of relearn, how do I do formal instruction and or how do I make assignments that are not necessarily project-based? So that's the part that I had to really kind of learn the first year and a half.
All right, thank you. And what are some of the major benefits you've seen from using PBL in your classroom?
When you're training artists, you're training people to create products. And so when you're using PBL, you're teaching people a process, whether it be how to plan, how to observe other artists, how to refine and step back and look and critique each other. And then when you have your final product, to look back on it and say, what would I do differently in this? So I really do think that one of the major things I teach is the process. And teaching people that to develop a product is a process, and that you don't always get it right in the first one. But the reflection is a really big part of that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ms. Cammie.
Yeah, I really like that. The process is so important because a lot of times we want the end results, but we don't necessarily want to go through that process. We actually know how to go through the process to get the end results.
Yeah.
And so the project-based learning type of structure really teaches from start to finish. Here's the goal at the end. How do we actually get there? And here's a project to do that, to teach you those types of things. So that's a huge benefit, I feel like. And then the other benefit I see, and sometimes maybe the students don't necessarily think this is a benefit, but working, how to work with other people in and on a certain goal or a project. And that's life outside of school. Especially when you get a job, it's just, you can't get around not working with people. You're always going to be working with people.
That's right.
And so learning that in school and learning how to do that at a younger age is super important. And then having those projects that you can do that with, is just really valuable for the student. So
yeah, for sure. Thank you. And, you know, like with PBL, like how do you assess the individual contributions of each student? Like, do you have a rubric or?
Yeah, so there are rubrics for everything we do. We definitely do things collaboratively in that we're all doing the same thing and looking at each other's work. Mm-hmm. But as I assess, I am really looking at your individual work. My students will know that I assess a slideshow at the end of our major projects, which documents the process. So as I said before, the process really is what I'm going at. And so the rubric breaks down the different components of the slideshow, and then students present in class kind of sharing the story of their projects.
Nice. Thank you.
The idea of assessment can be hard depending on, I guess, the type of project. Some of the context or some of the projects that we do in the classes I teach are heavily involved, like looking at the student and their specific role within the process. And so if it's a group project, those individuals will be graded individually on whether they did their role. You guys would know this.
Yes.
As well as at the end, did the end product or result meet the standard, whatever that is? And so, for example, like the marketing class, we have this podcast, right?
Yeah.
So the podcast is a real live thing that we do, and we're supposed to market it. Every student in class has a specific role
right.
that they have to do. They also have to keep accountability notes on what they're doing that week.
Every week.
And they have to turn those sheets in. Mm-hmm. And basically to say, here's what I did to contribute to the end goal thing. And so it can be tricky depending on the project that is designed. But at the end of the day, we also need to, you know, really teach them about the teamwork and the fact that they're part of a group that's, you know, going towards the bigger goal of getting this thing done. And they're an important part, but also they have to do their job too.
Thank you. And on the topic of PBL, could you describe an example of a project-based learning project that has had a significant impact on your students?
I think the first one that comes to mind is my intro to art, the cardboard construction project.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Which for me, I'm more of a 2D artist, so 3D doesn't come naturally, and it's definitely a big challenge. And so when I even had to teach this, I was a little bit like, oh, this is a new idea. So sometimes my students also feel that way. But the first thing that we do as our mini lesson, our warm up, is to partner up and build the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, that was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, so it's meant to be just kind of fun and not like very low pressure. And I think in that, students end up having a good time and seeing that they can do it. And then their challenge is to build a useful object out of cardboard.
Yes.
And often it begins with maybe a little frustration or like
a lot
overwhelmed.
Yeah,
overwhelmed. But the end products often turn out really well.
Right.
Exactly. Students are eager to take the intermediate class to learn more.
Yeah. I remember because, like, I think at the end, like, all the artworks are, like, shown in the display room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked, like, seeing, like, all the different cardboards. They're all so cute. So cute. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I love that project. That was my favorite. Yeah.
Students take it.
Thank you, Ms. Cammie.
So this question for me is quite evident just because of what we're doing here right now. When I took over the marketing class, I didn't want to just teach principles or concepts about marketing. I wanted some sort of real world experience that the students could be hands-on. And so that project of starting a podcast, really not knowing what I was doing, but wanting to do something like that to introduce the students not only to the project of creating a podcast, but how do you talk to guests? How do you communicate properly? And then once we produce this audio clip, you know, how do we actually put it online? How do we publish it? And then how do we market it? And so that project right there takes someone from 0 to 100.
Exactly.
And each student has a role within that. And so that's been pretty impactful because I've seen students grow in those roles as well as even grow with their communication.
Yeah.
And when talking with outside guests, talking with other teachers, other students. So that for me probably is the biggest one at this point.
Yeah.
I have other projects in my other classes, but The podcast Students Incorporated is the biggest one at this point. So
yeah, I think especially like this year's like intro to marketing class, like a lot of students have joined this class, and I feel like there are things that like you can't teach in class. Like you can't teach someone how to do this with a guest or like adapt or like be reliable. I feel like these are things that like project-based learning, like it comes in and like it really like, hey, you have to do it or else like, you know, you're gonna give off a bad impression and stuff like that, which is why I really like your classes, Mr. Jason. And Miss Cammy too. I think PBL,
fun, right?
Yeah,
hands-on stuff.
It's so fun too as well. It's like you're not actually learning. It's like, yeah.
Get hands-on.
Really good, really good. And my last question is, what advice would you give to teachers or even students about learning and teaching?
I think a lot of times people come into art classes, maybe if they haven't done it in a while or they feel like they're bad. I just love the growth mindset theory model, philosophy.
Yeah.
Because it you know, you're trying to improve yourself. So I often tell my intro to art students, if you feel like, for example, like at the cardboard project, if you feel like you're like a one at cardboard, I'm hoping that by the end of the project, you'll feel like a three or a four level.
Yeah.
And same, like if you're like actually pretty good at a skill, I'm hoping that you'll go from like a 7 to a 9.
Yeah.
So I think for teachers and for students, it's really important to remember, especially with project-based and skills-based, that skills, you're on a continuum and you're always getting better. I'm still getting better and learning new things and trying to improve myself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
I like that advice. If you're here, just make a goal of moving a little bit, right? I would say advice probably would be you will get out of the thing that you're working on what you put in. So if you're going to put 10% in, you're probably only going to get 10% out, right?
Yeah.
And so my advice to learners, which would be like students, even teachers, would be what you put into something is probably what you're going to get out of it. Also, the other cool thing about students and teachers is students can be teachers too. And so it's not just this teacher in a classroom trying to instruct or teach new concepts,
right?
But the students actually can teach each other. And I think that's why PBLs are so good, is because through that whole project process, the students are actually helping to train and mentor each other. And a lot of times they don't even really know it. And so from a teacher standpoint, we're like, this is really cool to watch. And the teachers actually can learn new things off students too, which is fun. And that's super rewarding. Yeah. So that would be my advice, is just put 100% in and try to get 100% out.
Yeah.
And then also just realize that students can be teachers as well. So
it's very good advice. Thank you both.
Thank you, and this concludes our second segment. We hope that you were able to take away and learn something new as we talked about different styles of teaching, experiences, and PBL, project-based learning. There's always more to learn about learning. Stay tuned for our next episode as we'll be exploring social media marketing with a local industry leader. You don't want to miss out on this one. And as always, this podcast would not be possible without the hard work and support of our international student production team.
All music and sound effects are courtesy of Pixabay.com, a vibrant community of creatives, sharing copyright-free images, videos, and music.
And we are signing off until next time. We are Students Incorporated, because your voice matters.